Welcome to the Windy Hill Windsock. With me, The Solution, and joining me today is Fiona.
Good evening, Solution.
How are you?
I'm not too bad. Feeling the cold lately.
It's definitely chilly out there tonight.
Turn, you know, that turn in the weather where you feel it's hit the cold part of the year.
Yeah. Well, funny story, I was at work today and we were trying to work out what we were doing for lunch. And I saw the big rain belt on the radar.
Mm.
I don't know if you saw it. It was just this big, massive yellow and green. I was in the CBD. Didn't quite hit the city, actually, but as badly as it looked. But I said to the three guys I'm working with, hey, let's grab lunch before the rain starts. But one of the guys I'm working with, I sent it to his email, which actually gets pointed to the whole company.
Oh. So yeah, it was a company wide invitation.
I thought about 1,000 people, yeah, including people in other regions.
Oh.
So yeah, you know, I'm just spreading the word of the Windsock. Anyway, so this is Fiona's forecast number 11. Some have called you Fiona Damas.
Oh, I love it!
You picked Essendon to win, and to be fair, in the podcast prior to the Essendon game, the podcast proper, I think everybody apart from me picked Essendon. We didn't speak to you on the podcast after the Richmond game, so just little summary on how you felt. How good was it?
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, I had lost the faith, I must say, but it was. I don't love our seats at the MCG, but it's quite in the last quarter there at the moment. It was so good. Everyone was just on their feet. Nobody was actually sitting on the ground. So it was quite an atmosphere. It was an elite atmosphere. Strangers hugging. COVID was not even a thing in your mind, because everyone was hugging everyone. It was a very elite feeling, and you just want to bottle that and feel it forever. But no, very proud of the performance. Very, very proud.
Yeah, and I said in the podcast, a few of us went over to the Pullman, and it felt like we'd won a final.
Yeah.
So, you know, some might accuse us of being over the top and over celebrating. They can get fucked. We deserved a little bit of joy there. Now, onto a game that everybody's expecting we're going to win, the West Coast, and the changes. So Dylan Shield, despite the doom and gloom of last night on social media, where some were saying he's going to be out for like a long time, lo and behold, he's in. Laverde straight back in the team, and Guelphy. I mean, three strong ins. I'm sure you don't disagree.
I don't disagree, no. I disagree. Look, in Brad, I trust. In Brad, I trust. However,
well, let's have.
Yeah, sorry.
Let me say the outs, and then we'll talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Alwyn Davey Jr. omitted. No problem. Andrew Phillips managed. I have a problem with calling it managed.
Yeah, me too.
he's omitted.
Thank you. Yeah.
Massimo D'Ambrosio came in. I thought he did a job in the last quarter, but, you know, omitted. He's on the bench. Could do a similar thing this weekend. Kane Baldwin omitted. Now, okay, kept the caveat in Brad we trust, but I take this a little bit personally, because I was pushing for Baldwin. I was poo-pooed by members of this podcast. I feel like he's my guy. He's come in. He's had a couple of great weeks. He's provided much needed height. And my issue with this is, surely another week where he could hopefully build his confidence against an undermanned team, because it's going to be times when I think we might need his taller, bigger frame, which is what he offers. And okay, understand that Laverde has been great the last sort of 18 months, deserves his place on past form. But I thought we were going, we were becoming a meritocracy, and it was about what you've done the week before and not your name. So I'm disappointed, and it sounds like you are too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I disagree. I don't think Laverty has earned his spot. I think his form in the first prior to his injury, and I said it on the podcast multiple times, that his form was not good. I watched him closely in preseason and he was off, and I actually thought he may have been carrying something because his form was off the first
seven. That's fair enough. That's fair enough.
Well, I actually don't think he's earned his spot in the side. And Baldwin has been terrific, terrific. He has barely put a foot wrong. I cannot see in why would you rush? Now, Laverty, he's come up ahead of schedule, Solution. Hmm. So why would you rush a guy back if the need is not there when the Baldwin has been performing beautifully in his absence? Why would you rush him back when he's ahead of schedule? Now, he might be feeling fantastic. Well, if he is, play him in the VFL. He's not beyond a game in the VFL.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
And as I said, in Brad I trust, but I find this quite, I find this quite offensive, to be honest. I find it, I mean, maybe they know something. Maybe Baldwin saw or carrying something. I hope he is, to be honest, because it's outrageous that he was dropped. As you say, another week under his belt of confidence would do him a world of good.
Well, I hope he's not sore. Tired. Maybe he's a little bit tired. I don't know, but it just seems...
or something temporary to justify, just to justify the omission.
But yeah, look, I'm with you.
Who, as I said, go back to the VFL and earn your spot. You're not, and let's be honest, this is a player who has been criticised of sooking it up in the VFL in the past. So I don't see it as a bad thing to give, you know, even if he doesn't want to play in the VFL and just do a big block of training. I hope it doesn't hurt his confidence, Baldwin. That's all we'll say.
Yeah, no, well, we both agree there. So in terms of the emergencies, just to round off the changes, Nick Bryan didn't come in despite an apparent stellar performance in the VFL last week. Then there's Baldwin, D'Ambrosio and Alwyn David Jr. I mean, I'm normally the late change man. But
it's very interesting given the Eagles. It's interesting to note the Eagles' ins as well. They've got some big ins as well, and mainly in their back line. They've got a lot of strength back in their back line with Barras and McGovern, who were two of their, you know, their premier, grand finalist defenders. So I find this odd that we haven't brought in another tall.
Actually, McGovern hasn't been named.
Yes, he has.
You sure?
Yep. Yo McGovern and Barras.
I've got Yo, Edwards, Hearn, Barras.
Oh, maybe that's a late change. I saw a friend of the podcast, Scott, tweeted it on Twitter. Anyway.
This is AFL.com.au, and we know how dodgy
Not McGovern, sorry. That's my fault. Shannon Hearn, not McGovern. That's my fault.
Yeah.
Hearn and Barras are the two that I'm talking in the back line.
Yes, of course.
Not my government. Sorry, my bad. My apologies. So my point is that we've dropped a second ruck, but they've gotten back some strength in their back line. So who is going to chop out Draper?
I think they're going to try with Wiedemann, and I think it's partly because he did a reasonable job in the last quarter.
But who's gonna chop him out in the forward line when Wiedemann's rucking?
Well, that was going to be my point. So I can see a world where, you know what, the two ruckman thing probably isn't sustainable.
No.
So let's give Wiedemann a go and let's see if he can pinch hit and see if we can squeeze a bit more time out of Draper. I thought Draper bounced back last week. And so maybe that's the plan. But to your point, I mean, unless they're resting Draper down there, which isn't really a rest in that case, who knows, maybe Bryan comes in as a late change.
So is it conceivable that Wiedemann's rucking while Draper's on the bench and the forward line is held up by Langford, Stringer and Martin or Archie Perkins? That to me seems quite strange, but is that conceivable?
Yeah, I think it's conceivable. Okay. I mean, maybe they're going for the Collingwood type, you know.
Yeah.
Don't really need a big key forward, I don't know, but it does seem, yeah, that's the thing. Aside from Baldwin's personal performance, I just think it's thrown the balance out a little bit. I think suddenly you might be faced with having to send Langford back to fill in a hole if one of their forwards gets going, which, let's be honest, probably won't happen.
No, but aren't you just direct swapping Baldwin for Laverty? How does that impact the back line? But what the thing that's getting me is taking Phillips out and being one tall forward short.
I guess what I'm saying is with less height in the back line.
But is Baldwin taller than Laverty?
Yeah, he'd have to be. Plays taller. Oh, that could be wrong.
No, Laverty plays on all the talls.
Okay. I'm going to bet you.
Yeah.
Baldwin is taller.
Okay. I see them as like for like.
I think Baldwin's more of a key position defender, body shape. Okay,
well, he's a forward, let's be honest.
Sorry, what was that?
Well, he's a forward, turned defender.
Well, yeah, but the way he's played, I think he's more of a defender. He's 193 centimetres and he's 97 kgs.
Yeah, and Laverty.
And Laverty, what's your bet?
I'm going same, 193, if not a bit more.
And kgs?
97.
I'll tell you what, you really are Fiona Darmus.
Oh, what?
He is 193.
Woo, told you.
So he is the same height, but he's 91 kgs.
Okay.
I don't know, man. Maybe Baldwin's got a bigger leap.
It's a literal like for like in that regard. My hesitance with these changes is we've dropped Phillips, but we haven't replaced the tall for the forward line.
Yeah, I get that point. Yeah. And that's why I said maybe Brian does come in.
Or, as you say, they're going with the Collingwood forward line. And you know what? This is going to be very telling for Mr. Draper. Let's see how he goes playing majority in the middle.
I mean, it just seems to me that some players are graded far more harshly than others. Like Hine gets his spot again. Snelling gets his spot again.
Yes.
Menzi gets his spot again. Granted, they all played roles last week. But Baldwin's dropped. And I know they're different players, but it's just, I don't know, it doesn't seem to be
Menzi, the only one out of that, I would say, earned his spot from last week and the last couple of weeks. I know you're not a big fan, but I still he's got a lot of scope for improvement, but I think a lot of his positives outweighed a lot of his negatives last week in the Dreamtime game. Is Nick Hine playing if King Callie is available? Possibly Hind is keeping that spot because Callie is out. I don't know.
Yeah, potentially.
So, yeah, but Snelling's a funny one. Be interesting to see. It'll be good to have Guelphy back. I'm glad. Good to have him back. I think hopefully he's healthy and fit. He only had, I think, half a performance in the VFL, so we'll see.
I just hope he gets a decent run at it.
Yeah,
like he's just had. He deserves like a few months of just injury free. Senior football. I think he's a quality player.
I think Brad Scott will get even, like, he was really good back end of last year. I think Brad Scott will elevate him again. I really do.
Did you read the article about the weed where he was bigging up Brad Scott and the impact he had?
I listened to his interview. I listened to the actual interview. It's on the on the SNN app, and yeah, he speaks so beautifully. Like, he's such a sweetheart. I really have a lot of time for Sam Wiedemann. I'm told he's an A+ person, so another good one to have at the club. But yeah, he spoke very highly, didn't he?
He did. He did. I always thought he was a little bit too nice, like when he was at Melbourne. He's obviously well spoken, but yeah, he's been great. So speaking of which. It's time now for the Sitting Joe and the Smoking Joe.
I'm so sad that I get the Sitting Joe this week.
You do. So just for new listeners, the Smoking Joe obviously is, we know who Smoking Joe was, Joe Macitti, Bomber, dual premiership star, from basically the time he was a teenager to when he retired, just couldn't stop getting possessions. And we award the Smoking Joe to the player we think is going to elevate above maybe his previous weeks or really have a game out of the box. And the Sitting Joe is named after the fence sitter, literally, Joe Danaher. And he's the guy who will maybe have a shocker. And so I'm doing the Smoking Joe. Is that right?
You are.
All right. I'm going to pick a guy who I think was really good last week. And I think he's going to go to the next level again with another solid run in the midfield. And that's High Hobbsy.
Great. Hobbs. It's a great shout. He's, I said to someone today, he's already good. He's already very good for a young player. Like, he's going to reach elite. There's no doubt in my mind. He will be in Brownlow contention in no time. I have no doubt in my mind.
It's funny you say that. I said the exact same thing to someone earlier in the week. We really need to stitch him up on a long-term deal because he's, yeah, there's an X factor. There's a class factor. Definitely. There's a, yeah, he's not just a good young player who'll be a good midfielder. I think he's got that little bit of potential.
Yes, sorry to interrupt you. He's got all the ingredients. He's got that bit of mongrel. He's tough. He lacks a bit of polish, but, you know, a lot of, you know, that will build, no doubt. And I think all the mongrel type players always like a bit of polish. Dangerfield is... He lacks polish, a bit of polish sometimes too, you know. So I think he's just got all the ingredients that will make an absolute tremendous player. And yeah, absolutely keen. And I'm not sure if you listened to Martin's interview today on the app. He did an interview with WA Station because obviously he's from there and West Coast. And he trained with West Coast and had a chance to be picked up by them. So apparently they bring it up all the time, this West Coast, this Perth radio station. And I listened to it before and he said, Martin commented saying that, you know, yeah, we're a really young group, but the great thing is that we're all coming up together. We're really close-knit because we're all developing and growing and coming up together. And in my head, I'm like, it's just so true. Like, we have this core group who, if they commit to the club and turn down big offers and just commit to the club like Hawthorn players did, like Geelong players did, took less money for success, they will achieve greatness. They will. The ingredients are there. It's just going to – and this is why the Parrish decision for me is going to be really interesting, because this is his opportunity to do what the champions at Hawthorn did, the champions at Geelong did, and take significantly less pay for success, because that's what it takes. You don't get there unless you have players who are willing to do that. Yep. Merritt did it. Merritt has already proven he did it. He turned down the big money offers, and we were up Ship Creek when he did it. We didn't even have Brad Scott. We didn't even have the brand showing when he did it. So this should be a no fucking brainer for Parrish, and it will say everything about the man he is and the character he is.
I agree. We're going to find out. I said it, I think, last week. I mean, every time we get a good young crop of players, people say this. But there's a Baby Bombers cohort, like a 93-type flavour cohort here. It's a group of young players that should be playing 200 games together.
Yes.
That's kind of the feeling I have. Whether they achieve the ultimate success, who knows? But, I'm excited.
What all this does as well is it's got me excited for, like, we will become, and we always have been, even through the trash period, but now we're going to be a real destination club. Can you imagine how many players last week watched Essendon play from the outside and thought, far out, this is the second, how huge is this Dreamtime game? Look how good Essendon are growing under Brad Scott. We're going to actually attract really good players as well. They're going to want to come, whether we trade for them or not, but they're actually going to want to come. And that's the exciting thing, because when that happens, you can actually pinpoint what you lack and go out and get it and target it.
No, I like the way you say the trash period. I'd call it the trash decades.
Because
that's what we had. Yeah. But I agree, and it's starting to be spoken about in the media a little bit. Mm. Buckley was talking about it during the week. Others have spoken about it. The fight, the heart, the system, people who know about football.
Yeah,
I'm not including me in that, that's for sure. But they're looking at what Essendon are doing and saying, okay, there's something good happening there.
And it's not even a visual thing. There's a bit of a feel. There's a bit of a, you can feel the energy with this group and Brad Scott. And if you, unless you're a spiritual person, you don't quite know what I'm talking about. But if you're in tune to that, and if you're thinking, I can't quite put my finger on it, that's what it is. It's just an energy about this group and about the coach. And he's permeated it through the group, because that shit is contagious, the good energy and the bad. And this is good energy. And that's what people are seeing and feeling.
I agree. Now, speaking of bad energy,
oh, yeah.
Who are you going to stick the pin in the voodoo doll of tonight?
Yeah, I'm sorry to say this, and poor little meatball guy, but I'm going to go Snelling. I think he's just going to really struggle with the pace. And
on the big ground.
With the pace of the game.
Yep.
And I think he struggled last week. I think I didn't really, to be honest, I didn't notice him that much. But I didn't, which says a lot in itself. I've actually forgot he was out there. I think he might have a sitter solution.
Yeah. Can you tell if he's sitting down?
Yeah, he might look like he's sitting down for a lot of the game when he's really not. But
yeah.
So I actually think Davey was a little unlucky to be dropped. I thought it was quite good.
Are
you happy with the drop Davey over Snelling?
I wouldn't conflate the two. I'd treat them as two different questions. I reckon Snelling, he must just be a tremendous clubman, tremendous at training. He must do everything absolutely right, because he does get rewarded above his performances. But you know what? That's not necessarily a bad thing when you're trying to set standards and when you have a young group, mm-hmm. and maybe he provides a bit of leadership. But I think there's other players I'd rather see there. As for Davey, yeah, I thought he was good as well. And we spoke about it last week. He kind of contributed to that that goal, that kind of one of the two goals. You know, when he received the handball from Waller and he kicked it long and then it bounced to the left and the right. Come on, don't tell me you haven't seen the replay 700 times. I'm talking about when he kicked it. How many times have you seen the replay, by the way?
I can recite the commentary. I can recite it for sure. I'd be able to recite the fourth quarter commentary easily.
So have a guess. How many times?
I'm not saying.
Okay, well, that speaks volumes. But you know the play when Waller actually gave him the handball. That was a good play by Waller too.
It was a great play by Waller.
Got it out. And he kicked it into space, and we got a little bit of luck, and then
Menzies ran on. Kicked it into space.
Yes.
Davey was the one who kicked into space. Yeah,
that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
I thought you were talking about Snelling. That's why I was like, who? No, that was Davey.
No, there was none of that. There was none of Snelling. No, Snelling's lucky. But I think on Davey, just manage him as you need to. Okay. A couple of weeks in the seniors, have a rest. A couple of weeks in the seniors.
Yep.
He's got starter sprinkled on him, that guy.
Yeah, you're right. But to your point, why write omitted next to him and manage next to Phillips? I think they got it wrong. Put omitted next to next to Phillips and manage next to Davey. That is better.
Or just knackery next to Phillips probably do.
Oh, he was so good the first 4 weeks.
Yeah, but he ploughed that field. He's like a plough horse. He's a Clydesdale, and you know he did that work, and now he needs to get on the truck and go make pet food for little doggies. But anyway, so you're going Snelling, I can't disagree, and I've gone Hobbs.
Yeah.
I reckon there's a multi there for sure.
Yeah.
All right, wild card.
What do you got for me?
Not a lot.
Why? Where is the preparation? Where is the dedication? Where is the thought to the FF of the week? What?
How long you been doing this podcast now? 2 years?
Yeah.
Preparation has never.
But this is a new segment. This is a new podcast.
No. It's the same principles. We hold true to our values. I've done no preparation. But I think the problem is with the wild card.
Mm.
There's nothing I think that springs to mind, maybe it's simply to say, is it going to be 100-point thrashing? And have West Coast truly tanked? Or do the ins kind of indicate that maybe the pressure on the coach, and you know what it's like over there, it's a two-team town, and West Coast probably gets 70% of the media. Do you think they'll actually come out and try and give us some kind of game this week? That's my wild card. There you go. Thought of it on the spot. Always better than preparing.
Touche. I think 100% you're correct. I don't think we'll win like the Hawks did at all. I think we will possibly may even be behind at halftime. That's how close I think it'll be up until then. But I suspect that Brad Scott will put his foot down and recenter the boys and remind them that this is a just as important game as last week was, and that they don't come to this game expecting a win and not to get ahead of themselves. So I do think that it will be nowhere near as I don't think it'll be a percentage booster, put it that way.
That's slightly concerning, actually. Do you think the players might have drank a bit of their bathwater this week? Is there any chance that that whilst West Coast could bounce up, we could bounce down?
No, but I think the psyche of knowing how bad West Coast is going might impinge their performance just because it's gotten into their psyche, and not even consciously. I'm actually saying that they might even do it a little bit subconsciously. Just knowing, like they asked Martin on radio today that they're about West Coast doing so badly and all of that. So it's not like the players aren't aware solution. They know. So I'm a bit worried about the psyche of them thinking that this is just the 4 points. All they had to do is jump on a plane and get the 4 points. Not that they've drunk their bathwater. That's what I think.
Okay. Well,
do you think there's a potential of that happening?
I mean, maybe it's PTSD from, again, decades of shitness.
Yeah, so it's warranted.
But yeah, correct. But I'm always a bit pessimistic, and I always think, you know, that we're potentially going to be – it's going to be – of the two scenarios, will it be great or will it not be great? I always tend to lead towards a negative when it comes to Essendon.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think we'll have too much talent, surely, to get over the top of them. To not get over the top of them, I mean.
Yeah, yeah. And look, ultimately, I think, as I said, we might be behind at halftime, but I think eventually our talent will overrun them. But I tell you what, we're getting every week, we just get one little step closer to having 2 metre back, and I just, my water's just bubbling away. I'm just feeling the excitement of having him back. I cannot express how excited I am to have him back and to see him and Wiedemann together in the team and for him to get reward off what was an incredible season last year. And I feel like the footy gods owe him an apology for giving him that fucking injury. He was the one who didn't deserve it the most, you know. He carried us last year and excelled in a shit team, came fifth in the Coleman in a shit team that finished fourth on the bottom, whatever we were finished.
That style of football, which is so difficult on the forward line.
Exactly. So many – he just deserves the world, that big ginger man. He deserves the world, and I hope the footy gods deliver. And I can't wait to see him and Wiedemann and Stringer. I can't wait to see that forward line.
The other thing too is – I don't even think he needs to recapture his form of last year.
No.
Structurally, it'll make such a massive difference to have a guy of his height, a guy of his kind of presence, the gravity he'll attract defenders, you know, that they won't want to leave him one-on-one. I think he'll just make a huge difference to the entire team, just having him there, even if he's, you know, two-thirds of the player he was last year.
Yeah, they'll double team him, and Wiedemann and Stringer will get way much more space and way off the hook, heaps more. You know, I still think he'll actually, he's the kind of guy who won't allow himself not to capture the form of last year. He's that kind of person. So I actually think he will recapture that form, but you're right, he doesn't need to. And Brad Scott will instill that in him, just like he's instilled it in Stringer. What a selfless game Jake Stringer played last week. He was phenomenal. Don't sleep on that just because he didn't have 50 and kick goal of the year. He was phenomenal last week. The most selfless game I've seen from him. And Brad Scott will instill that same mentality into 2 metre. But 2 metre will, I reckon he'll have lots of motivation to get back to his best. But yeah, we'll see Wiedemann relish with him in, no doubt.
Yes. Now, moving to the prediction.
Yep.
And again, Fiona's forecast listeners have their pens poised.
Mm.
What are we thinking?
All right, so I'm going to go for maybe 42.
That's what I said on Sunday.
Did you? I have told you before, I haven't listened to the podcast yet. It's queued.
What fucking hope do we have when even the podcast members don't listen to it?
Correspondent never even listens to it at all. Don't think he's listened to one Fiona forecast.
True.
But yes, I'm going. Okay, I'll say 43 then. 43, Essendon.
Yeah, even though I said 42, I'm slightly more bullish.
Okay.
Now I'm going to go 51. 51 points.
Look, if Hawthorn beat them by 106 points, fuck, we'd want to get close, wouldn't we?
Yeah, but was that what's the number one pick? Everyone's...
Harley Reid.
Is that the Harley? Wasn't that the Harley Reid Cup?
Yes, it was. So are you saying Hawthorn? If that was the Harley Reid Cup, I'd hate to think what they would do if they actually raid him, because clearly Hawthorn didn't get the memo.
Yeah, I reckon, yeah, you're right. But if Hawthorn can do that, even if West Coast weren't even trying, they're not great. But I do think there'll be, to your point, there'll be a bit of a first half bounce.
Yeah.
And I think we'll only start to kick away in the third quarter.
And or, the commentary halftime will be, is this the upset of the round?
Yeah. Okay. And don't forget West Coast umpiring.
Oh my
God. How many times have we been?
Yeah, because you know what? Hawthorn played them in Tassie. Oh.
Yes.
That's what I won by 106 points.
Yep.
Oh my God.
It'll be Perth Stadium.
Wow. Yeah. Makes so much sense.
Couple of local umpires.
Crowd.
Yeah.
Although we've got, again, as I said in Adelaide, we've got brilliant support all over Australia for Essendon. So the WA Bombers will be out in force, no doubt. Hey, do you feel a little bit vindicated after the Swamp posted that statistic about how Essendon have had the least amount of breaks?
I'm just glad somebody's talking about it.
Yeah, because I think it's vindicated.
It's just like, we're just going to pretend Essendon don't have the hardest draw.
Yeah.
And we don't travel as much as we do. You know, after the bye, the first game is Fremantle away. We've still got to go to Greater Western Sydney. It just never ends.
Yeah. I mean, you don't. I like to think, oh, I'm just too close to it. You know, it's just me. I'm just too close to it. Just every other team travels as well. But when you see the statistic there and that Essendon had the least amount of breaks and Carlton have the most breaks, it puts it into perspective.
Yeah. 1,000%. Mm. But no, as I said in the podcast last week, we're building something.
Yeah.
Jez and the correspondent said, not quite yet, but I described it. The sleeping giant, I just reckon his toes are starting to wiggle.
Oh, I feel the force. I feel what's
you the feel the force?
Is that the Star Wars thing?
No, that.
What's the.
Well, the Star Wars thing is the Force, yes.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. I feel it. I feel the rumble or whatever the saying is, the rumble, the Force, I feel it. I feel it with Brad because I feel the energy. It's a spirituality. It's an energy. You can't describe it. You only know it when you feel it. It's an energy.
Yeah. It's a field of vibration.
It's a vibration. And you feel it. You feel it. I feel it negatively and I feel it positively. And this is incredibly positive, definitely.
Who sung that song? Feel the Vibration. Was that Marky Mark? It was.
Another song motivation. You could put a few lyrics to that about the vibration.
Do you know who Mark Wahlberg is?
The actor, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you know before he was Mark Wahlberg? Who he was?
No.
He was Marky Mark.
Was he a singer?
He was a rapper.
What? No, surely.
You don't know this?
No.
Yeah. Marky Mark in the... All right, so this is what we're going to try and do.
Oh, no.
I'm going to share my screen. We've done this before. And this is good because I don't want to do...
This is not great for a podcast sharing screen.
No, it doesn't matter. I don't want to do a Tales from the Sauna because it will just be, as I said last week, it'll be penis patter. Okay. The Tales from the Shower, and I think I should probably retire the podcast.
Okay.
I think going there once will do it. But what I'm going to do, I can't believe you don't know this. So this was 1991.
I can't believe he was a singer.
This is great on a podcast. All right, here we go. This is him live. I'm going to share my screen.
This is fantastic podcast content. Not. This is like, if you want to switch off, I give you permission, listeners, to switch off because this is just.
Trust me, this is worth it. This is worth it.
This is fuckery now, really.
No. Trust me.
Yeah.
You prepare, so you know the actor.
I know the actor, yes. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So do you know what his band was called?
I didn't even know he was a singer up until a minute ago.
It was called The Funky Bunch.
Oh, no. I'm just putting it out there. This is the worst podcast content ever. This is shocking.
No, this will be good. Can you see my screen?
Oh, here we go. Yes, I can. Right. Oh, my God.
You can see all my music things here. You ready?
Oh, my God.
Can you hear it?
No, I can't hear anything. Oh, my God. Look
can,
at him.
Can you not hear this?
No, I can't hear anything. Hear you. I can't hear the...
Yeah. It's just describing it for the listeners. There's Mark. There's some keys. He's doing some white dancing.
He's
got the hat backwards.
Handsome though, very, very handsome.
He was a good looking guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is a very good looking guy, but he's a white man. A very, yeah. very white man.
And he's kind of
with his topless with a
that
is bang.
And he's pretty jacked.
Very jacked, let's be honest. Beautiful, beautiful physique. But he's rapping like he's Will Smith. And this is very tragic. I think he'd want this removed from existence.
Well, the challenge to you and to other podcast listeners is to go out, listen to Good Vibrations on YouTube, Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
Was that their hit song or something? Like, is that the only song they had? Or
he had a couple of hits. He did a version of.
Is that the most well-known, though? Like, what's the most well-known song, like, for me to go out and listen to him?
It could be Gonna Have a Good Time. There wasn't a lot of depth in his lyrics, put it this way.
From what I've just witnessed, yeah, that's...
Yeah. Anyway, Marky Mark.
What a tangent.
That was a decent tangent, which may get edited completely out. Well, on that note, thanks to everyone that listened. Another win. Tomorrow is what we order from the footy gods. They owe us big time. So check out our sponsor, Something About Cake. And we will see you on the podcast Sunday.
Catch up.